Friends, this year in this post-Easter season, I have been trying to place myself in the situation of that first generation of believers and to ponder the challenges and the struggles with which they were faced. And I've invited you to come along with me on that little excursion. And it was such a troubling time, surely. You see, some of these people who had spent a lot of time with Jesus, had been on a roller coaster, really, because they had been thoroughly persuaded that this was the Messiah. And now it appears that perhaps they had been mistaken, because events were not unfolding as they had anticipated that they surely would. Others, of course, were dependent more on the testimony of those who had been present with Jesus, and they were struggling to make sense out of the story that was being told to them, especially when it came to that part that this man who was crucified is now alive again. In fact, you see, at the outset, very few believed, and most were still struggling their way through these events. And there was not only the question about doubt about things that had happened and why, but also, surely, there was also a sense of fear. If the intensity of the hatred toward Jesus was so great that people wanted him dead, what did that mean for people who were his followers? What might happen to them also? Those were surely genuine struggles that first generation of believers in Jerusalem had to deal with. But of course, when you think about it, all generations of believers have had to struggle with the same issues, though I concede we have somewhat of an advantage in that the testimony concerning Jesus has mounted and the number of those who affirm these things has increased and been preserved and recorded for us. Yet we still have to make our way through those challenges and those uncertainties. And not only does each generation need to do it, but in fact, every believer has to make their way through the process. Even those surrounded by faith, for them too, coming to faith is a personal process and commitment. And they have to overcome the challenges that naturally arise, because not everyone assents to these things. And what will they make of them? And what will they decide to do? For each of you, too, has come through this process of making a decision concerning these things that have been shared with us through the followers of Jesus Christ. And that process may have been one of which we were relatively unconscious in the moment, and for others it has been a more dramatic thing. And if we were to share our faith stories, each one would be a little different. But we surely have each one a faith story to tell. Because at some point in our life, we were challenged to reflect seriously about the claims of Jesus Christ. And here we are, gathered together in worship and praise, still working our way along the journey of faith, but here together, professing that we desire to follow Jesus Christ. In fact, you see, we are, every one of us, first-generation believers. Our generation is a little removed in time from that first generation in Jerusalem, but our life and spiritual journey is new for us. Now, you see, that process of coming to faith involves overcoming doubt. And I want to talk about doubt this morning, because doubt is a challenge that we each one must find ways of dealing with and working through for ourselves and with others around us. Because you see, the first crucial step to dealing with doubt is admitting it's real, owning it, acknowledging it, saying that sometimes issues of faith are a real struggle for us. There is, you see, an importance to that. And I go back to Thomas because I like the guy. I mean, who was more upfront about their doubt than Thomas? He didn't hide it. He didn't attempt to hide it from God. He didn't attempt to hide it from his fellow disciples. He put it right out there, plain and square. Unless I see, touch, am absolutely persuaded, I can't believe. Now, he did one thing that was really helpful in a way concerning his doubt. Because his doubt was genuine, he needed to be persuaded that these stories that were circulating concerning Jesus Christ being alive were in fact true. But he didn't clutter it up with a whole lot of other, you know, ponderings. He got right to the point. This is what would persuade me. And he named it. And therefore, when Jesus came back into the midst of the disciples a week later, his acknowledged doubt, that is Thomas's acknowledged doubt, was addressed directly and personally. And for us too, you know, owning our doubt is really important. Because otherwise, you see, we kind of try and sweep it under the carpet and just pretend that it will go away without being dealt with. And of course, in the providence of God, sometimes it does, but also in the reality of living, sometimes doubt that we have not dealt with just festers and undermines and erodes the faith we verbally profess. And so learning to be willing to own our doubts without enlarging them, without making them all sort of complicated, but naming them and acknowledging them and admitting them and sharing them is crucial to our having a healthy faith. We need to be able to acknowledge our doubts to God, that we can begin a conversation with Him concerning them. We also need to acknowledge our doubts to those with whom we are sharing this spiritual pilgrimage here where we are. Oh, we don't have to take out an ad in the newspaper, but we are in a so much better place if we can acknowledge to one another that we have struggles of faith, that some of those may be struggles that were in the past and have been surmounted, but others are struggles that go on and return and need to be dealt with sometimes repeatedly in the course of our days. And we need in Christian community to find ways to handle and address doubt without pretending it isn't real and just trying to labor on with it unresolved. Of course, for modern believers, when doubt is in the air, there arises an additional risk, because sometimes people are enticed into inventing doubt. By that I mean that sometimes in Christian community, the wrong things are placed before people as the ultimate issues about which they must make decisions. We have perhaps all encountered the person who says on a particular passage of Scripture, if you don't interpret it the way I do, you're obviously not very true to the Lord. Well, there are essentials to the faith, of course. But there are lots of things that get elevated that aren't really so crucial. And there is, unfortunately, a tendency sometimes in Christian community for them to be given equal status. And I would just label those sort of invented doubts that are ones we might easily deal with in good days. But when we're dealing with real struggles of doubt, then they just get added to the burden quite wrongly. We have individual responsibilities with respect to doubt, that is, that we acknowledge it, that we avoid letting it devour us. But there is a responsibility that falls on all of us in the faith community as well. Because doubt ought not to be just a private, personal struggle. It's something that happens within the context of community. Thomas didn't hide off in the corner and kick the wall and say, I won't believe. He acknowledged it right in the middle of that group of people who had seen and who had been persuaded. And he brought them into the conversation as well. In Christian community, we need collectively to acknowledge the reality of the struggles that people have with doubt. We need, you see, as I said earlier, though we don't need to take out an ad in the newspaper about our doubts, we do need to cultivate people, individuals, with whom we can have an ongoing conversation of faith, and with whom we can comfortably share issues that trouble us or that challenge us about living the faith and about what we believe. And if we can create that atmosphere in our Christian community, then we have something that is very beautiful, because then together we can work at the struggles of doubt that at some point or other surely challenge every one of us. There is a need in Christian community for supportiveness, for patience, for openness, that reading that Lloyd had this morning. From a selection of scripture we probably don't read from very often in church. The letter of Jude. Did you catch the end of it? Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are wavering, who are dealing with the culture around them and perhaps feeling overwhelmed. What more appropriate word to our times than those? And Jude says, be patient with those who are wavering. Because, you see, what's the alternative? If when someone acknowledges some degree of doubt about something related to the faith, and we refuse to listen or refuse to be supportive, we, in essence, push them out of Christian community and say, go find your answer somewhere else. Whereas if we collectively in community can pray about our struggles of faith, if we can pray for and with one another on such issues, then we can address them in a context of faith, rather than excluding individuals who are struggling and forcing them to find their answers from those who don't profess the faith at all. And this is our challenge. And so, may it be our prayer. Lord, remove my doubts and fears. We sang a hymn just before the sermon. Spirit of God, I remind you of one verse, verse 4. Teach me to feel that thou art always nigh, Teach me the struggles of the soul to bear, to check the rising doubt, the rebel sigh. Teach me the patience of an answered prayer. Doubt comes in many forms. It enters our lives through many doorways. Sometimes we just kind of feel ignored or abandoned by God. Sometimes we feel ignored or abandoned by the faith community around us. Doubt often doesn't charge into our lives, you know, it kind of creeps in. And sometimes it comes about because of our own personal or moral failure, and that causes us to doubt all we profess. But whatever the avenue, whatever the entry point, whatever the challenge that doubt lifts up to us, let us work at becoming a people who offer the prayer that, Lord, remove my doubts and fears, and let us be a community of faith in which the struggle is shared. This, friends, is good news. Thanks be to God.